Bill Buckmaster with you in the driver's seat. My buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. Tom, are we about done with 100 degrees? I know I'm way done with it. It's in the rearview mirror, but it's going to be around, I think, a few more days.
How many times have you or someone or me anybody made that prediction only to have it come around again?
Well, I kept saying, oh, back in August, that's enough of the excess heat warnings. And then we have like the hottest temperature ever recorded in September.
In September,
last,
yeah.
I think it was Sunday. Anyway, away we go. It's midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday, September the 13th, 2023. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We love Green Things. They have the naming rights to the Buckmaster Show studio, and of course we're part of the Bustos Media team. We have five radio stations under one roof right here in Tucson. But this station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for news and talk. Local live talk, worldwide live listening if you'd like to listen to the program on your computer. A lot of people do. They just go to my website, buckmastershow.com, and we have the live stream. And if you would like to join us at any time on our live line, that's at 790-2040. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our quarterly Tucson Air Service Update, one of my favorite segments, because it's no secret. I love to travel. I love to fly, so I guess I'm talking to the right guy. Austin Wright is with us. Austin is Chief Communications Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, which operates Tucson International Airport, and Ryan Airfield, a general aviation airport just west of Tucson. Hey, Austin, how are you?
Bill, thanks for having us. We love being here, and we love that you travel out of the Tucson airport. That means a lot to us.
I do. Highly recommend flying out of TIA rather than doing the drive. You know, I still hear people doing it. They say, oh, I can get a cheaper flight, or this is gonna save me money. But, you know, in the long run, Austin, I know you know this, but you're not really going to save a lot of money. In fact, you'll save more money by just flying out of TIA.
Yeah, and that's really, I think, what we're shifting our public messaging to this year is that it's such an easy airport to use. Gas prices are high, so driving to Phoenix alone in gas is a substantial cost.
It's mellow. People are really friendly at TIA.
And the parking is easy. You park right outside the door. We could go on and on with the benefits that make the airport great, but that's what we want the community to know, how easy it is to use the Tucson airport. And we hope that the community comes out and sees just how easy it is for themselves.
And you really have tried to beef up and make it easier for on-site parking at the airport. You know, not that the off-site vendors don't do a good job, but you're trying to get and make it even easier for people by parking within the campus.
Yeah, and if you look at a price comparison, Phoenix versus Tucson, if you were in a terminal-connected garage in Phoenix versus Tucson, you're saving over $100 a week parking at the Tucson airport. So it's easy.
And we want to talk about, of course, this is our air service update. We try to bring you in every quarter. There are a lot of exciting things happening. I mean, let's begin with up to the northwest, Alaska Airlines. TIA and Alaska have a really good relationship. Alaska, the management people like Tucson. They like doing business in Tucson, and they are now showing it with expanding service.
Yeah, Alaska Airlines has been an incredible partner for us. I actually was just up in Seattle a month or two ago meeting with them, and they love the city of Tucson, and who doesn't? The weather's perfect here. So we're excited to see new nonstop flights to Orange County. That starts in mid-December. But we also have a new flight to Everett, Payne Field, and Portland, Oregon. So we've got three new exciting routes on Alaska, and of course they always have flown to Seattle, and they'll continue to do that twice a day. So Alaska Airlines is the up-and-coming star of Tucson International Airport, and we're so excited about their new service.
Well, many people have just are really excited. I'm excited as well about Orange County, because this way, You don't have to worry about LAX. You can get into Orange County and you can get down to Laguna Beach in a matter of minutes.
And amusement parks.
Yeah,
and I mean, it's just such a great vacation. It could be a great weekend getaway. And we actually, our marketing team was just thinking about some images to use to start promoting this flight. And there's so many amazing things to see in Orange County. We have so many different images you'll see in the community because who doesn't love everything that Orange County has to offer?
Mm-hmm. Is this a daily flight?
It is, yep.
And when does that begin?
December 18th. So okay. Right before the holidays, and it's scheduled to go all the way through their schedule published right now. Mm-hmm. So with good performance, it'll be a yearly flight.
Yeah, and you put some words there that are very important. Good performance. I mean, it's one thing to secure the nonstop flight, but now people really do need to show up because the airlines are going to be looking at the load factor, aren't they?
100%. And that's just the reality of how this business operates. If you really get into the statistics, the reality is of the last 10 years, we've had 25 new routes, and those routes don't all remain anymore. In fact, there's less than 10 of those routes still operating. So when we get a new flight, it's so important that the community books on that flight, and we realize there's a bunch of options to get to Orange County. You could go through Vegas, you could go through Denver, but we want you to take the nonstop flight because that's how we retain the flights. And we're trying really hard to get new flights and new service for this community, and we need people to take advantage of those flights when we do get them so they stay.
All right, so that's what's going on with Alaska Airlines. Let's talk a little bit about your former alum. You're an alum of Southwest Airlines. You should be wearing that big love pin right there. No, you had a decent career there, right? You were at least there for a decade or so.
Yeah, I was a senior manager there for over a decade.
And so you know about Love Field.
Mm-hmm.
So tell our listeners what's coming up at Dallas Love Field.
Yeah, my old hometown. So we're excited that Southwest Airlines is adding flights to Dallas Love Field from Tucson. Obviously, we fly to DFW Airport already on American. And that's a great flight, but the Love Field is a little closer to the actual city center, and it's a little easier to use, too. So for those who prefer to go into Love Field, Southwest Airlines starts that this holiday season. It's starting on a scaled-down kind of weekend basis, but again, when that flight does well, we expect that that'll stay, and we'll see increased frequency on it.
And Love Field's a hub, so you can pretty much, if you want to get anywhere on the Southwest system to the east, that's a good way to do it, isn't it?
It's a great way to do it. They also fly to Houston, which makes it easy to get to the east. But yeah, if you're going to New Orleans, if you're going to somewhere in Florida, if you're going, to my hometown in Pittsburgh, you can do all of that going through Dallas Love Field. So it's a great connecting point, but also a great local market.
Was Love Field was like one of the original. I kind of think of it like my hometown. I think about Midway, mm-hmm. which Southwest has established their kind of a hub there. Mm-hmm. Sort of similar with Love Field, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of more of an in-town airport.
100%. Yeah. And that's what Southwest really sold itself on, was they flew to the easy airports.
Yep.
And that's where it all started. It has a lot of history. And, of course, they've modernized that airport so much over the years. But Dallas Love Field is a special spot for Southwest Airlines.
Southwest has really, they had some issues with the computer system. Are you hearing in the industry that things seem to have stabilized a little bit with the airline?
Yeah, it's certainly no surprise that they struggled last holiday season, and I think it impacted a lot of travelers. But we work very closely with our airline partners, and their technology is quickly updating to ensure that there's not a similar situation this holiday season. So everything's great at Southwest right now. Their customers love them. They have for decades. So it's all good news at Southwest.
Austin Wright is with us. Austin is the Chief Communications Officer at Tucson International Airport Authority, in the authority TAA. Of course, the umbrella commercial airport is Tucson International Airport, and they also have Ryan Field, which really a lot of people swear by Ryan Field. It's a great general aviation.
Oh, yeah.
Airport. It doesn't get a lot of publicity or anything, but kind of flies under the radar screen, if you will. But people love it.
Great place to learn to fly.
Yeah.
It's a simple airport. It's, you know, just a few miles away from the Tucson International Airport, but we call it a reliever airport, and it's perfect for general aviation traffic.
All right, so we talked about Alaska and their service that's going to be upgrading to the Pacific Northwest and to Orange County. Southwest, for the holiday season, will begin service to Dallas Love Field. What about my hometown of Chicagoland?
Well, Chicago's getting a lot of action, so we're excited about Chicago because that it really is the key point for eastbound transit. So anywhere in the Northeast, you're really going through Chicago. But we're going to see an increase of 300 seats available per day to Chicago O'Hare, plus Southwest Airlines is adding daily service to Chicago Midway Airport.
Wow.
That's coming this spring. So Chicago's definitely on the horizon for us in terms of growth, and we see it both on United and American for O'Hare and then Southwest for Midway.
Oh, that's good. And, of course, Delta. We don't want to forget Delta. They have really upped their game going up to Seattle.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the Atlanta flight with a large wide-body plane.
So what's great about Delta is they have such an incredible product. That's one thing that Delta really prides himself on is hospitality.
It really is good. I like Delta.
It is, whether it's the seat-back entertainment or they work really hard to have great on-time performance. Delta's a great airline, and you know, they're not the biggest airline in Tucson, but we certainly can't discredit the great work that they're doing with flights to Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, Atlanta on the Airbus A321, and of course, going up to Seattle. So they're a very visible airline partner for us in Tucson, and they have an incredible product.
When we continue with Austin, right, we'll talk about what Austin and his team are looking at. I know they're always busy thinking about, hey, we need more nonstop service. What they have, what they're working on in the pipeline, that will be coming up after we take the break. But right now, Austin, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. And you love bakery goods, right?
Oh, I sure do.
Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. People love Mona's Danish Bakery. I mean, the doors open at 6:30, and people are waiting in line when the doors open. They want their warm bakery goods. They want their cup of coffee. And, you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but they do a great lunch as well. They are open right now for lunch. Check it out. Steve and the team at Mona's Danish Bakery, one of our great sponsors, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Stop by Mona's and tell them that you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show. Let's take a break right here. We'll talk more about air travel with Austin right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. This is perfect weather now to go over to Green Things because all of the Green Things, nature has done a beautiful watering job on all of their plants, over 13 acres. So check it out. Get some color in your garden. Go by. They are located at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. It's a beautiful location. And while you're there, do you need some pottery? Perhaps want to upgrade the patio? How about that Talavera pottery that they sell at Green Things as part of their Zocalo Village, their other business on site? Here are a couple of websites for you to check out, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The folks at Green Things, we like to say they didn't get off the bus yesterday, 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. Austin Wright is with us. Austin is Chief Communications Officer for Tucson Airport Authority, which, of course, oversees the Tucson International Airport and then the General Aviation Airport at Ryan Airfield. And before we took the break, segment one, we were talking about air service. A lot of it's going to be happening over the holidays, some exciting things happening, additional service up to Chicago. We've got Orange County coming online, Dallas Love Field, Everett, Washington up in the Seattle area. Additional Portland is also in the mix there. So now, Austin, you get this question probably every day when you tell people, well, I work out at the Tucson International Airport. Do you not get the question, when are we going to get a nonstop to whatever?
We get that question all the time, and we hear the community that nonstop service to Mexico is a priority.
Big time.
And the biggest priority that we hear from everyone in this community is a nonstop flight to New York. So we are working really, really hard on that New York flight. We partner with Visit Tucson, which is our tourism office here in the city, to find ways that we can innovate air service to ensure that we get the markets that this community really needs. So New York, we hear you loud and clear. We hear Washington, D.C., we hear flights to Florida. We hear, of course, all different destinations in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta, Cabo San Lucas, Hermosillo. You name it, we hear it. And we are out there advocating for this city to try to get those routes.
I mean, Mexico is such a natural for Tucson International Airport. I go back a long time in this community, 35 years on radio and TV here. But then again, I was out here in the 60s going to the University of Arizona, a Chicago kid who wanted to, like a lot of Chicago kids, get out of the winter. But at the time, Aeromexico was operating nonstop. They had a very strong presence here in Tucson. I think they were the first international carrier at TIA.
Yeah. And obviously right now we're, and this might not be obvious, so I'm glad we're talking about it. There's some difficult government regulation right now in terms of the safety rating that Mexican carriers have, which prohibits them from starting new service into the United States. So that's really the reason we don't currently have a Mexico flight, is you can only have an operating Mexico flight right now if that existed in your city before the safety rating was downgraded.
Which was 2 years ago, I believe.
Yeah. So as soon as those safety ratings are upgraded, which it's our understanding that it's a diplomatic issue between the United States and Mexico. As soon as they're in the highest level safety rating again, they can start new service into the United States. And mm-hmm. we feel very confident that we will have a Mexico flight just as soon as that happens.
Mm-hmm. So Volaris has a large presence in Mexico.
Yeah, there's obviously we want really any Mexican carrier we can get. So whether it is Aeromexico, whether it's Volaris, whether it's Vivo Aerobus, you name it, we're interested because we know this community has a connection to Mexico. They love to vacation there. They have family there. There, we could go on and on with a list of what connects Southern Arizona and Mexico. So we are going to a lot of conferences. We just went to one in Atlantic City called Jumpstart, where you meet with a bunch of different airlines. And it's almost like speed dating for cities and the airlines. And we met with some Mexican carriers when we were there.
That sounds like fun.
For somebody
that likes air travel, I would have really liked that. You mean you kind of go from booth to booth?
Yeah, you set
and
up.
And sort of make your pitch, right?
Yeah, you get 30 minutes with the airlines, and they do this kind of all throughout the year. There's one later this year in Istanbul, Turkey.
Really? For international
flights. So we're really out way beyond the borders of Arizona trying to get air service, and we've got an amazing marketing and air service team. That works really every single day to promote this community.
So that is that's kind of the quintessential elevator pitch when you've got just a few minutes really with these people. Austin Wright, what would the elevator pitch be on Tucson? What would you say to these people?
Well, the obvious is this is a great destination for people to come inbound to Tucson.
Yes.
We have amazing resorts. We have amazing food, but we've also gotten a lot of positive media this year. I think we were voted the 14th best city in the world to visit. I think that was in Time Magazine. So we have a whole slide deck presented of all these accolades. We're one of the top cities that people are moving to. Our population is growing. Our weather is amazing. So we really hit them with all the good news, and we've got an amazing presentation, and we work with a local Tucson Air Service consultant as well who goes out and hits the road with us. So we've got an amazing team, and this city is there's never a shortage of good things to say about Tucson.
I want to talk a little bit about the website, flytucson.com. You've got all sorts of information, not only the obvious stuff about whether or not your flight is on time or whether the department or whether the flight will be arriving on time, but you've got all sorts of other things about parking and all the concessions, because people can actually order ahead now at some of the concessions.
Yeah, it's on an app called Grab. We have a website that we've tried to make really easy to use, and we've tried to simplify it as much as we can. So you can click the destinations tab, and it lists every nonstop city we fly to, and you can learn about their terminal. You can see our terminal on there. You can see flight status. You can see parking rates and the percentage of how full each specific lot is. And something that I also want to note while we talk about destinations is that through the Tucson Airport, you can reach 300 destinations with one stop that's less than 2 hours.
Really?
So that makes the Tucson Airport a
gateway
to the world.
Somebody did a lot of homework on that one.
Yeah, that's our data and analytical team within the Air Service Department. So
there are 300 destinations worldwide that you can just leave TIA and then you'll make one stop to get to those destinations.
And that stop is less than 2 hours. So if you had a 2.5 hour connection, you would have way more cities than that. We've really pared it down to what's the most convenient travel, which is a connection of less than 2 hours, and it's more than 300 worldwide destinations.
You know, it seems like any airport you go to these days, major airport, there's a lot of construction going on. Are we going to see that at TIA?
So you're not going to notice construction inside just yet. That's on the horizon. We are doing a terminal modernization, but we're still 4 to 5 years away from that starting. What you will see if you look out the windows is we're building a second parallel runway to our full-size commercial runway. And this helps us, A, with redundancy, and also it meets modern safety standards. The airport is, of course, safe to operate, and it's an amazing airport. But this just adds one new layer of really backup. If something were to go wrong on one runway, we'll have a second full-size parallel runway, and we have a full-size crosswind runway as well. So the airport's going to be equipped for any weather, any situation. We're about 2 to 3 years away from that being fully completed.
And the Air Guard has a very large presence in Tucson. You were telling me before we went on the air, there's a kind of a neat safety enhancement that is now available.
Yeah, it's called a barrier arresting cable. And it's, think about landing on an aircraft carrier when you grab your hook, mm-hmm. hits the rope and it pulls the plane. Yeah. Same thing. If there was some sort of emergency with one of those fighter jets, they grab the barrier arresting cable. And that's an added safety feature that we have now at the airport for those aircraft, and speaks to what our top priority is, and that is safety.
So we've only got about a minute to go. You would say, and this is something we probably should have talked about at the beginning, everybody always kind of judges how are things going. Are we up to pre-pandemic levels? What is that? Give us the overview here.
Yeah, this is a great note to close on because we are happy that Q4 were projected to beat pre-pandemic levels, which means the airport is at a fully recovered state, which is really a benchmark airports are looking to achieve in today's aviation world. And we're so happy the public continues to rely on our airport and use us when their lives call for air travel. And we are fully recovered and ready for business.
Okay, and we will touch base with you as we get ready here for the fourth quarter coming up, Austin. Always a pleasure to see you. Thanks
so much. We appreciate it.
We'll check with you right before the holidays. All right, that's Austin Wright. He is the Chief Communications Officer at the Tucson Airport Authority. And again, their website is flytucson.com. Check it out. A lot of good information there. And happy travels, safe travels, and have a great flight, but we're going to still have more with you on the Buckmaster Show, midway point of our program, our Water Quarterly Report about the Central Arizona Project. That's coming up next with Karen Caesar. Stay with us.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. And of course, once a quarter, we talk about what I consider to be the most important topic facing Arizona, and that is water. Hey, if you don't have water, we don't have anything. I think it's our most important resource, water. Arizona Water Quarterly, presented by the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Karen Caesar, the Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. You can learn more about CAP on their fine website, cap-az.com. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Bill. Glad to be here today.
It is great to see you. And of course, we hear about the Colorado River in the news almost all the time. So what's going on?
Well, you're right. Water in the West continues to be a media focal point, and sometimes the news can seem a bit contradictory. We understand that. On one hand, we know that we are in the midst of a very real effects of an over 20-year drought. But this past year was a very wet year here in Arizona and the Colorado River Basin. Record snowpack, runoff, all that stuff is great news. But we know that one good water year is not enough to protect the Colorado River system that provides our water to our CAP deliveries.
So it is good news.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is good news. And it was good enough, in fact, that the Department of Interior announced that we will be moving back up to a Tier 1 shortage next year. We've been in a Tier 2A shortage for the past year. So the mandatory reductions that are put in place by the Tier 1 declaration will be less than before, but not by much.
Well, it does seem very positive.
Oh, it is. And what this has done, too, is it's given us an interim period of time where we can shift our focus from maybe declining lake levels in the immediate thing to the big focus. And that's how we all, and by all I mean those in the Colorado River Basin, seven states, and obviously here in Arizona, can learn to live with less water, but hopefully a more stable, reliable water supply.
I understand you and the board, many staffers are down here. I had a big briefing with Arizona's elected officials.
Yes, we did. I was really happy. I was happy to see that Tucson hosted the League of Arizona Cities and Towns Conference this year at the JW Marriott last month. And as part of that, CAP showed a lot of our elected officials, and these people, a lot of them have come from cities and towns that have CAP allocations. So we were able to show them a great video that breaks down pretty much what I just discussed. And that video can be seen on our website. So your listeners can go take a look at Know Your Water News.
And you're holding your annual board meeting here?
Yes. Also, specific to Pima County. Once a year, we take the show on the road. Most of our meetings are held up in Phoenix at our headquarters, but in the fall, we do a Pima County meeting, and that will be October 5th. We'll be meeting at the Arizona Inn. Our public policy meeting will start at 9 o'clock, and the board meeting starts at 10. And this is an open public meeting, so this is a chance for people in Pima County, if you want to come see your elected representatives on the CAP board in action, come on down, and we welcome everybody to come to our meeting.
Great venue over at the Arizona Inn,
yeah,
Thursday, October the 5th.
Very excited about that.
Let's go back to the Colorado River and some of the future issues, Karen.
Right. No, appreciate that, because there's a lot happening all the time, but right now there's really three big things that are happening. One was the shortage declaration that I just talked about for next year. The second one is we're still waiting to hear about a consensus proposal that Arizona, California, and Nevada submitted to the federal government to save an additional 3 million acre feet in Lake Mead. That's a lot of water over the next 3 years. And I talked about this last time a little bit, and we're hoping to hear something back later this fall. And so the proposal, if accepted, would have an immediate impact on the stability of the Colorado River system.
There's a third item that's really important, right?
Yes.
And not that the other two, of course, aren't critical, but this third one's really big.
Exactly. The third one is that in August, we also submitted our comments to the federal government for the post-2026 scoping period. And what that refers to is the fact that the system is currently, our Colorado system and the whole seven basin states are operating now under the what we call the 07 shortage sharing guidelines and the drought contingency plan.
That's a mouthful.
That's been a mouthful, and that's a lot of complicated layered on legal, yeah. operational, everything that goes into who gets water and who doesn't in different levels of shortage. But all of these guidelines are set to expire in 2026. We're closing out on 2023. 2026 is right around the corner in the water planning world. So with the first two items that I mentioned, the good hydrology that led to the Tier 1 shortage declaration and the possibility of more conservation, which we're actually doing already, by the way, it's given us some breathing room so we can now look to this next big thing, which is that all these rules are basically up for grabs, up for reconsideration for 2027 and beyond. And you can imagine that's going to be a very big hill to climb.
It's a very, very thorough look at the whole Colorado River system, and probably the first in many, many years.
Well, we know we have a structural deficit. We know we're going to have a smaller river, and we have to really look at, you know, where things are across the seven basin states and how can we all work together. And the hope is that, like we've done before, water in the West, we come together as a consensus proposal and find something that maybe not everybody's thrilled with, but everybody can live with.
And of course, water conservation, you touched a little bit on it. There is a new incentive program going on.
Yes, and this is very exciting. I talked a little bit about this. Part of what we do at CAP is we also have a function called the Central Arizona Groundwater Replenishment District. And the CAGRD, for short, has a new incentive program. And this is where home builders can get rebates of up to $1,000 for each WaterSense labeled home they build. And these homes use 30% less water than a typical new construction. So according to the Environmental Protection Agency, this is the first program of its type in the Southwest and being used to, you know, encourage still more conservation.
So who's getting the rebates so far?
Well, I'm happy to say that the very first recipient of these rebates were KB Homes, located here in Pima County, for 43 homes, some of them in Entrada del Sol development in Saurita, and some in the Rocking K community in southeast Tucson. So these homes are served by Spanish Trail Water Company and Saurita Water Company, and they're both CAGRD members.
So that's less groundwater being used.
Yes, yes. The more conservation we can just bake into our lives, the less groundwater is used by CAGRD member. That means that that's less water we have to replenish, and also less water we have to go out and acquire. So As home builders get help with the cost associated with these WaterSense certifications. So it's really a win-win, and we're happy to, again, keep contributing to the solution of saving our precious water resource.
And I know you wanted to talk about a new CAP program that really is kind of breaking news.
Yes, this is very exciting and something that CAP has been working on for a long time. At our board meeting last week, the board approved a design contract for a new CAP Water Education Center, and it's going to be a new one of a kind facility up at our CAP headquarters that are going to, you know, allow us to tell our story a little bit better to the public.
How's it going to look? What's it entailed?
Well, it's going to be a brand new building, and for our listeners here in Pima County, our CAP headquarters is kind of like North Phoenix, Pinnacle Peak and 7th Street, right by the canal. But our headquarters, other than our boardroom, there's very little space that we can welcome guests, bring in the public, hold important meetings, even any kind of community outreach. So this is going to be a new building, a new space for the public to gain a hands-on understanding of CAP, how it fits into Arizona water management story, and also going to come with a complete up-close view of the canal. The design is going to be support everything from large water stakeholder groups to elected official meetings to school field trips with interactive educational hands-on exhibits.
So there really wasn't a water education center before at the CAP headquarters.
No. At one time we had our control room, which was very exciting. But again, over time, we realized that due to the security natures and the things we have to really protect, inviting the public into our main brain control room was probably not the best idea. So this is really going to be, you know, an important outreach and a facility that will be open to the public and really tell our story. And some of the early kind of research that we've done on this is that there really is nothing like this in Arizona. So we're very excited. And I can just say, you know, we hope that one of the things is this will lay a foundation for our future water leaders. School kids can come and, you know, hopefully get inspired to learn more about water and you know, take this to the next generation.
Anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
Yeah, just always, like I said, appreciate being here. And I want to remind your listeners that they can sign up for our knowyourwaternews.com news site. You can get up-to-date emails and find out what's going on.
That's a great site.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, Karen Caesar, thank you so much for joining us for the update on what's going on with the CAP.
And thank you for having me, and we'll see you. I'll have a lot to update at the end, hopefully.
Yep, December.
Hope you and your listeners have a good fall season, and we are all looking forward to cooler temperatures.
I hope so.
Thank you. I know I am.
Thank you very much, Karen. All right, we'll take a break right here. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show, Midweek Edition.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our lifeline for our telephone interviews presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Boy, I like that temperature over in Silver City at midday, 59 degrees and rain. And the forecast over there is just absolutely delightful, around 80 degrees, overnight lows, mid to upper 50s. So be a great late summer, early autumn getaway to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start planning that visit to Silver City. First stop, visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of recreation ideas to tempt you. And here's the good news, only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to a beautiful area in the Land of Enchantment. Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment is Mitch Tobin, who is director of the Water Desk, a new journalism initiative at the University of Colorado Boulder that focuses on Western water issues in the Colorado River Basin. Mitch is an award-winning journalist. He's former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register, the Tucson Citizen, and the Arizona Daily Star. He's the author of Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. That book won a gold medal in the Independent Book Publisher Awards. Mitch joins us now from his home base in Colorado. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
So what is this I hear and see about snow already in Colorado?
Yes, we've had a little bit of snow at the very highest elevations. We're talking, you know, above 12,000 feet. So it's definitely early in the season, but not unusual for there to be some snow in September. In fact, there are places in Colorado where it can snow pretty much any month of the year. So, you know, there's not much you can really say about the forthcoming season as far as the winter and the snowpack based on what's happening now. But it is nice to see a little bit of the white stuff on the tops of the highest peaks.
We just had our quarterly report from Karen Caesar with the Central Arizona Project, and there was some positive news that we did have that wet winter. Any idea about how this winter is looking for the source waters of the Colorado River, the state of Colorado?
Well, boy, I wish I could tell you, and if I could accurately predict what the season is going to look like as far as snow, I would be super wealthy and have my own foundation rather than be applying to funders for grants. But I guess the story right now in the preseason is people are noting that we are in the midst of an El Nino and a fairly strong one. And so when there is an El Nino, at least in the United States, it tends to increase the precipitation along the southern tier states and decrease it along the northern tier. But I really should caution that these are just sort of tilting the odds, and it by no means guarantees that that's what will happen. And in fact, last year before the season, a lot of people were predicting it was going to be a down year and the drought was going to get worse. And in fact, the exact opposite happened. And so, you know, reading and talking to meteorologists and scientists, I think people who study this sort of thing realize that beyond a week or 10 days or 2 weeks, it's pretty tough to predict what's going to happen with the weather. And so there are some, you know, long range forecasts, but the skill in forecasting, you know, beyond a couple of weeks is pretty low. And so I think, you know, the answer is we really don't know what's going to happen. Certainly last year was a big snow year here in Colorado, certainly in California and other places. And that took pressure off the system, and the sense of crisis, I think, abated because there was this big runoff from all of that snow. Now, I should say that the summer, you know, was a little bit of a disappointment in terms of the monsoon here in Colorado, or at least in southwest Colorado where I live. In a lot of places, it was sort of spotty. It started very late. We went through a very, very hot, dry period in July. And so a lot of areas that had moved out of drought and were completely drought-free have since actually entered back into various stages of drought. And we're not talking severe drought at this point, but we lost some ground during the summer. And it just shows that, you know, it's one thing for there to be a single season where there's a lot of snow and it's very wet, but, you know, you can very easily reverse that and go back into dry times.
It was a spotty kind of monsoon here. We had a couple of big events, I know, up at our house in the central foothills, Mitch, where we had a lot of damage. It was like, I like to say, two one-in-100-year events that were compressed to about a 10-day period with just violent winds. And I'm just hoping that this is not going to become kind of the new normal with the climate change, Mitch Tobin.
Yeah, I mean, the monsoon is definitely important in a place like Tucson, and it certainly extends farther, even up to here in Colorado. As far as the water supply, in terms of the amount of water that's in the Colorado River, its tributaries, and the reservoirs, the most important thing is the snowpack. And really, that is the biggest reservoir that we have. And so, you know, the lack of rain and the monsoon hurts, but, you know, we can certainly make up for it if we have a healthy snowpack season. And certainly my fingers are crossed and a lot of people's fingers are crossed. And, you know, that's not only people who like to ski and raft and recreate outdoors, but certainly the water suppliers, farmers, and not to mention the critters and the ecosystems that depend on water in a dry region.
You know, more and more weather is becoming such a huge story in climate change. And I know with your journalism initiative there at UC Boulder, are you getting a lot more interest from journalists around the country about our water situation?
Definitely. I think the last couple of years when, you know, the reservoirs like Lake Mead and Lake Powell were just in this precipitous decline, we saw a huge increase in the amount of coverage of water issues in the Colorado River in particular. And that's good. You know, I think that's important that we have more journalism and we have more people educated about these issues. And that's, you know, the mission of the Water Desk is to try to strengthen journalism because, you know, people need to know where their water comes from and what the threats are. And so, you know, I think the silver lining of there being this terrible drought and the problems with the reservoirs falling is that it really woke a lot of people up who might not otherwise pay attention to water. And I think a lot of people just typically take water for granted because it's just always there when you turn on the faucet. And so, you know, this crisis, I think, was also an opportunity to educate people just about how this very complicated system works and allows us to live in a very dry region. So I definitely think there's a lot more coverage, which is good. I definitely think a lot more citizens and just people out in the public are talking about water and thinking about it. And that's good because unless people understand the source and the origin of their water, the threats to it, the threats not only to the supply, but the quality of it. You know, we really need people to be educated so that we can make smart decisions because we're facing big challenges in the years ahead with climate change. That much is clear.
And we'll see what the government is going to be doing, too, about the Colorado River. 2024 is going to be an important year, isn't it, Mitch?
Yes, you know, like I said, the wet winter that we had last year took some of the pressure off, but really the underlying issues remain. Karen talked about the structural deficit, the sense that we're taking more out of the river than the river can supply. And, you know, that problem is only going to get worse because of climate change. And so scientists are saying that the Southwest is aridifying. Just the baseline climate is becoming drier. And so with the rising temperatures, we have more evaporation, the soil gets dry and soaks up the moisture before it reaches the river. The atmosphere is drier and sucks up the moisture like a sponge. And so, you know, all of these threats are continuing despite just having, you know, one good year. And so, you know, really to get out of this deficit, we need like four or five big snow years in a row.
Definitely.
That is very, very unlikely. But it's important to keep the big picture in mind and that over the last 20, 22 years, we've been in what's considered a mega drought and one of the worst in millennia.
All right, Mitch Tobin, always a pleasure. Thank you, Mitch. Have a great afternoon up in southwestern Colorado.
Thanks so much, Bill. Take care.
All right, Mitch Tobin with us, our contributor on the environment. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show, the midweek edition. On behalf of Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.